I want these things too, but I just think that when you get this mentality that Democrats are soulless sellout sacks of shit and that they're not really doing anything for us and they blow, you just create this demoralization platform.
Oh no, I vote blue no matter who. I want to be clear to the audience, to everybody about that. I vote blue no matter who all the time. But I am dismayed. I'm not getting what I want. But I heard a statistic that the reason why Republicans win is not because, like, some kind of like, basically the Democrats are staying home and deciding not to vote. So the Republicans are going out and voting more than the Democrats are. And that's why a lot of the Republicans do this stuff like the gerrymandering to try and prevent people from voting, because they know that's basically the only way that they're going to win, because they're not a true populist party. And I
do remember hearing like a lot of people saying that that's one of the reasons why Hillary Clinton lost in 16 was that like millions of people who voted for Obama stayed
home.
And
everybody assumed that she was going to win. Everybody was just like, oh, she's a Clinton, she's going to win. Nobody's going to vote for this shithead, Trump. And that's how he won.
That's why I always say every 4 years, act like your person is 50% behind in every single poll. Act like this is a fight for your life. Never get complacent in an election.
Right. But then the thing to me, this is my standard statement that I'm always going to make. I don't think I've ever said this on the podcast either, but it's like, I would rather vote for Democrats and have them win and then be disappointed in them than to abstain or not do anything to work and then end up being outraged at Republicans. Because Republicans are always going to do worse. They're always going to do bad things. They're always going to push the envelope of extremism, and they're always going to do more bullshit, and it's never going to end. And they hate being held accountable in elections, and they will fight tooth and nail to try to avoid said accountability. And by gerrymandering, by doing all the shit they do in manipulating social media and all the rest of it, it is endlessly frustrating, and it's where we are in society, and it sucks. But anyhow, I wanted to get into some other stuff as well before. So what was I going to say?
Could I just do the plug really quick?
Do the shut up. Okay, do your plug. Plug away. You never need to ask permission. Just run us over. Just barrel over us and get, as they say in the wrestling industry, get your shit in. Hit your moves.
Okay.
Do your
I just wanted to plug an event that is coming up on January 6th, of course. My friend, an author, Noelle Cook, her book, The Conspiracists, Women, Extremism, and the Lore of Belonging, is premiering on January 6th because the book is about January 6th women. And she is appearing at Vroman's with a V bookstore. That's Tuesday, January 6th at 7 p.m. And that's 695 East Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. And she has a special guest speaker, Mike Rothschild, author of Jewish Space Lasers. And, what was the name of his book? Was it Storm Is Upon Us? I always get the names of the different QAnon books mixed up, but Mike Rothschild, Jewish Space Lasers, is going to be there. Noelle's going to be signing the books, and Mike's going to be doing a little talk. My husband already booked hotels for us. We're going to this event. I'm actually quoted in the book. And so is Rich Logis, who is from Leaving MAGA. And so is Erica Roach, who is a former QAnon follower. So I'm in this great book written by my friend. And I'm in the book with two other cool, amazing, wonderful friends who are also former conspiracy theorists. So anyone who wants to come, buy a copy of the book, get it signed. So, yeah.
And I don't know anything. I haven't read the book or anything, but I know Noel Cook, and I imagine it's got to be a good read. So I would throw my head in too to say pick up that book and give it a looky loo.
I will not be the 10th dentist that says eating candy is good.
And speaking of dentists, no, I'm just kidding. That chair, the photo of that chair freaks me out. Anyway.
Yeah. So anyhow, what was I going to say? So moving on to more fun, nonsense, bullshit things. Candace Owens has been getting a lot of attention recently, and one of my favorite idiots to engage with, because he hasn't blocked me, is Julian's Rum, who is a guy that I would consider to be a former QAnon promoter who's now turned into a griper. He's moved his racism and hatred to that camp because Donald Trump hasn't gotten rid of all the non-whites and made houses affordable and all the rest of it. So he's thrown his lot in with Nick Fuentes and those dirtbags, because that's where he thinks he's going to get his payoff from. And he made a post about, quote, Candace was right about Bridget Macron, or words to that effect. And I jumped in and said, oh, does Candace have any evidence to support this? And let me tell you, there are more than a few idiots that really, really, really believe that Bridget Macron is a man. And I think my favorite one of these idiots was someone who sent me a photo stating that the Macrons had dropped their defamation lawsuit against Candace. And then when I looked on the website that they had the photo included, the website did not actually have any stories about the lawsuit being dropped. The lawsuit is ongoing. And a bunch of other people then started yelling at me about other stuff. And someone linked me to Candace Owens has like an 8-part series where each of the episodes is like 40 minutes. And it's about how Bridget Macron is a guy. And it's like, that is a lot of time being devoted to an absolute nonsense conspiracy theory that has no basis in reality. And so I'm gonna dig into the first 40-minute chapter of this thing. It's called Becoming Bridget, and I'm gonna dig into that one. I've downloaded the episode. I'm gonna do the whole thing where you cut it up and make a bunch of clips and respond to them. I'm gonna do that kind of stuff, and we'll see how it goes. I might dig into the whole thing, but again, it's massive. It's probably 6+ hours of bullshit about Bridget Macron being a guy, which feels incredibly excessive, but hey.
I mean, yeah, even Loose Change was only 2 hours.
Yeah, Loose Change, a tight 2 hours about how 9/11 was an inside job. And the thing is, I say to these people when I'm talking to them, I say, why didn't Emmanuel Macron's political enemies ever bring this up? I mean, this feels like a real easy way to destroy the man. To be like, by the way, your wife is a guy, and that's weird. And on top of that, she's claimed to have 3 children, so obviously her whole life is a lie. And I mean, and then what does Emmanuel Macron do at that point? He just like leaves public life in shame because his whole existence is an Illuminati front for some bullshit, which is hilarious. But
I've seen the same.
Weirdly enough, Marie, go ahead.
I've seen the same argument put towards moon landing deniers, where it's like, where they say, if the moon landing was faked, why did the Soviets go along with it?
Right, exactly. Yeah, like that's the thing. It's like, why did Marine Le Pen in her 2 elections against Macron never bring this up? Never. Some like staffers in Le Pen's campaign are like, Madame Le Pen, we know that Bridget is transgender and her kids are adopted. The Macron's whole family backstory is a lie. And Le Pen's like, no, we can't go with that. It'll be too strong. I'll win too easily. I need a challenge. It's like,
Yeah, and I mean, same thing go for Mitt Romney or John McCain when they're going up against Obama. They could have
right birtherism, yeah, exactly.
Well, not even birther. Like they could have dropped Big Mike on him.
Yeah, Big Mike, exactly. All of that. That's the thing is, in QAnon world, you have to believe that all these people are in the deep state and they're all lust for power. Yet none of them take the low hanging fruit that will just win them an election over their enemy with contemptuous ease.
You know, I love this whole idea that there has to be a process because people will be shaken to their core if Hillary Clinton is arrested, even though we've already seen Donald Trump, you know, get mugshotted, go stand in front of a court and all that stuff. And we were all like, oh man, this sucks. But, what's for dinner? But Hillary Clinton, who is universally reviled, we can't handle that.
Right. I've tweeted this a million times, and this is the innate cognitive dissonance of QAnon, is that Donald Trump is the most universally beloved public figure in American history and would win all 50 states in a landslide if those states held free and fair elections. But at the same time, Hillary Clinton is incredibly beloved, and the American people would burn our nation to the ground if we saw Frazzle Trip. If we saw her flaying a small child's face without being prepared for it, without being braced for it, for like a decade of prep work, we, the American people, would just lose our shit and end the world in a fit of rage if Hill Dog got indicted. And that's why they got to take it so slow, because we can't handle, like, I would think that Bill Cosby's probably analogous with Tom Hanks, yet America will burn to the ground if we find out that Tom Hanks is a serial killer. Meanwhile, it's like, oh yeah, by the way, Bill Cosby raped every woman that got in his line of sight. And literally, oh, that sucks.
And Michael Jackson. I mean, that was Michael Negative 48. Like, it is well known Michael Jackson was a child predator and he used his fame and success to cover it all up. It is a well-known fact, but
how dare you? How dare
-48? They fucking love Michael Jackson.